Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you again today as we're looking at the Gospels, as we've been studying this fascinating instructions that Jesus gives his disciples. As we saw here a couple of days ago, where Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 9, as he was telling them there's a great need for workers. As he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And so thus we went to and we looked at Matthew's account, because we also have account of this story in Luke and Mark. But we looked at Matthew's account as he spoke to the 12 apostles, and then he gave them instructions as he was looking to send them out. And then he reminded them of the persecution that will be coming to them as they go out and declare the good news. And last time and yesterday, we saw the need that they had as they go out underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. But today, as we continue on, the first little section we'll read is how Jesus is going to be teaching the disciples the fear of God. In verse 27 of Matthew chapter 10, we read, "Whatever I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop." Otherwise, he was telling them, he says, "In the moment that you need to hear the word of God, the moment you need to speak, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the word, give you the prompting of the things to say." And he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy the body, both soul and body in hell." Oh, that's kind of a good perspective, isn't it? It takes away the fear of man when you realize that they're in the same boat as we are. See, the Bible tells us it's appointed for man once to die. After that, the judgment. Death is in front of all of us, everybody. And so Jesus is exhorting his disciples, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy the soul and the body in hell." Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls in the ground apart from your father's will? But the very hair on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. And so he's saying, yes, you're going to go out into this world, and they're going to persecute you because they persecuted me. They're going to reject the things that you have to say because they rejected me. But don't worry about it. I have eternity waiting for you. I have good things waiting for you. Oh my goodness, if we grasp that concept, if we're really able to live it, to live our life with the light of eternity in mind, I believe that we'd be far more bolder men and women, not fearing what man can do for us. Then Jesus goes on now and he exhorts them to confess Christ before men. He says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Otherwise, Paul later on in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God unto salvation, first unto the Jews and the Greeks, and then to the outermost part of the world." Paul was not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he said what's at the heart of it is the power of salvation. Jesus gives us that knowledge of salvation, and not only the knowledge, but it gives us the power that we can know and walk with God. He says, "Therefore, if you confess that," he says, "if you confess the truth of who Jesus is, my Heavenly Father's, he's going to, you know, I'm going to confess you to my Heavenly Father that you belong to me, that you haven't denied me, and it's going to be a good thing." But if we deny Jesus, if we deny knowing him and if we get a situation where we don't, you know, confess Jesus Christ as being our Lord, that's not a good thing. I remember when I first came a Christian, and I'd never heard of a Calvary Chapel, even though I was living close by in Tustin. It really hadn't taken off yet, and I was going to Tustin High School here in Orange County, and I hadn't really met any Christians. I didn't know if there's any Christians at the high school, and I brought my Bible to school, and you know what I would do with my Bible? I would put it underneath my other books, which I never really opened too much, but I would put them underneath them, my Bible, and I would carry it. And one day, I went into what they would have as a student lounge area, and I would just sneak in there so I could grab my Bible out and read the scriptures. Can you imagine that? And then all of a sudden, as I was reading, I came across that verse where Paul wrote there in Romans. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." At that moment, when I read that verse, oh my goodness, I realized this, oh Lord, what am I doing? And I took my Bible from the bottom of my books to the top. And I became a whole different person. And I found out that not only were there Christians, there was many Christians there. Wasn't very long after that they asked me to lead what was known as campus life. And we had a tremendous time of fellowship in church there, even at the high school. But we need to confess Jesus Christ. We need to tell people who the Lord is. And then he talks about how our relationship with Christ will bring division, as he's telling his disciples. In verse 34, we read, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." You know, there's a lot of even teaching where it's known as the Kingdom Now mentality or the Kingdom Now churches. That's really what birthed into the replacement theology, where they like to replace Israel with the church as far as Bible prophecy. They you know, like, we're just going to get a better earth. The kingdom of God's going to come here upon this earth. Well, they forgot to read this, where it says Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. There's a new kingdom. There's a new heaven, a new earth that's going to come where righteousness dwell. He says, "But I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace with but a sword. For I have come to set a man against a father, a daughter against a mother, a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it." What a amazing scriptures that we see here, of what Jesus here is talking about. But, you know, let me back up for a second here, because it all ties together in verse 32. Peter made the mistake of denying he knew Jesus in Matthew chapter 26. But Jesus lovely, really lovingly restored him to fellowship. If you want Jesus to confess you before the Father, you need to confess him before your men. There are those of us who use this verse to support the need to walk forward publicly to accept Jesus at the altar, there in front of the church. This isn't really what the passage is talking about. Rather, Jesus is talking about living our lives daily in obedience to him. The word confess means to declare something. It's not something you do once in front of people. Confession is the way of life. It's living a life because you're declaring that we agree with Jesus on a day-by-day basis. So then he takes this and he talks about the family life. Notice he doesn't say that we don't love our wives, our kids, or various family relationships that he speaks about here, because love is really what God's all about, and he certainly does support that we love our wives, we love our children, we care about them. But here he's speaking about priority, that we don't deny a relationship with God. All the way back in there in Exodus, where we have our the Ten Commandments laid out for us, it really speaks about how we need to love God supremely, that we should set no other gods before him, that we should keep him first, we should love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mights. And then as he wraps up this little section on instructions to his disciples, he speaks about simply a cup of cold water. He says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet a reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, I surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." The blessings of the economy of God. We just need to do our part this day. Maybe it's giving somebody a smile, a cup of cold water, just a friendly hi. You know, it's amazing. The ministry of Christ, like we mentioned earlier, affects our whole life, our whole being. Maybe we represent Jesus this day and the people that God brings into our lives. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you.
Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.